Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we've begun a new series, and we are talking about, or we're going to talk about, what happens to us when we're born of God, when we're born again, when we become Christians. Something comes into us that was not in us before we bowed our knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. The very life of God comes into us. Many Christians do not know that, and consequently, they don't benefit from what's on the inside of them. Now, I'm getting way ahead of myself. Let's approach this systematically, as we do all the topics we discuss. I made this statement yesterday, and I want to begin with it again today. Christianity is not a belief system or a code of ethics and behavior. I'm not denying that there are specific beliefs, there are specific things you must believe to be a Christian. Neither am I denying that there are certain behaviors associated with being a Christian. There most certainly are. But Christianity is union with God through Jesus Christ. It's a living, organic union with Almighty God through Jesus. Let's begin to explain this. In eternity past, God conceived a plan to have a family. He created earth to be the home for his family. Then he created human beings in his image and likeness, with the intention that they would choose to become his sons and daughters through faith in him and in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We could do whole lessons on that. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 tell us that before God formed the earth, he knew about each one of us. Let me read it. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. According as God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, predestinating us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Tons of stuff in that verse we're not going to address. All I want you to notice is before God ever made the earth, he chose us to become his sons and daughters, children of God, through Jesus. And that was his will. Isaiah chapter 45 verse 18 says God made the earth to be inhabited. Why? Because he's making a family. He needs a home for his family. Now, the first man, Adam, chose independence from God through sin. He did not choose to become God's son through faith in Jesus. He chose independence from God through sin. And as the head of the human race and the first caretaker of the earth, his actions had a catastrophic effect on God's creation. He's the head of the race. The whole race was in him. You're aware of that, I'm sure. If the genealogical records existed, every one of us could trace ourselves back to Adam. What became us, the DNA, I don't know enough about science and biology to explain it accurately, forgive me for that. But we were in him potentially in when he sinned. That the Bible says that and science verifies that. But the point is, as the head of the human race, his actions affected the entire race. Romans chapter 5 verse 12 says that through one man's disobedience, Romans chapter 5 verse 19 says that through one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. His actions affected the whole race in him. He was also the first caretaker of the earth. God made men to be stewards of his earth. And as the first caretaker of the earth, his actions had a catastrophic effect on God's creation. Romans chapter 5 verse 12 says that through one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all, for all had sinned. The Living Bible says all things began to grow old and die. Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, spoken by God, right after Adam's sin, said the earth is now cursed because of what you've done. A curse of death entered the earth itself. It'll now produce weeds, thorns, thistles, killer storms. Adam, you and the race in you are going to have to work by the sweat of your brow and toil and labor to get food out of the ground, and then your body's going back into the ground. The earth itself was corrupted, resulting in killer storms, earthquakes, disease, famine, so on and so forth. Now, it seemed as though God's plan to have a family of sons and daughters in his image who, through faith in him, became his sons and daughters living on a perfect earth, that plan seemed thwarted. But none of this took God by surprise. He already had a plan in mind to undo the damage done by man's sin and rebellion and carry out his original purpose, which is to have sons and daughters in his image who reflect his glory in a perfect world. Jesus is called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world in Revelation 13:8. In Genesis 3, right after Adam's sin, in verse 15, God spoke the first promise of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to man. He said, there's coming the seed, that's Jesus, of the woman, Mary, and he will break the power of the devil over the human race. Now, God's plan is called redemption. His plan to deliver his creation from the catastrophic effects of sin is called redemption. Redemption provides salvation from sin and all its effects. Under this plan, God himself would take on flesh, be born into this world. He'd go to the cross to be punished in our place for our sin so it could be wiped out. Its penalty, its power, and its memory wiped out. For all who accept his sacrifice at the cross, their sins are wiped out, and God can then treat them as though they had never sinned and make them his sons and daughters. Now, we could do whole lessons on every point I just made. I'm trying to lay a foundation here of the big picture, what God is working toward to set the stage to talk about the life that you and I receive when we're born again and what it means to be in union with God through Jesus Christ. God took on flesh and came to earth to die in our place and be punished for our sins so that our sins could be wiped out. The penalty, the power, and even the memory, so God could treat us as though we never sinned and make us into his actual sons and daughters. The purpose or the goal or the end game of redemption, which provides salvation from sin, is transformation. The end game of salvation, the end game of redemption is transformation, to turn unrighteous, unholy sinners into holy, righteous sons and daughters of God who accurately express his glory throughout the universe. That's the point of salvation. It's not to make us better people. It's not to help us live a better life. I'm not saying you won't live a better life and you won't be a better person as a Christian. Yes, you will. But that's not the end game. The end game is to turn sinners into sons. The end game is to turn unrighteous men and women into holy, righteous sons and daughters of God. Now, God accomplishes this process of transformation by giving us eternal life when we acknowledge Jesus as Savior and Lord. Now, you might say, well, everybody knows that. You're probably right on that point. But I'd venture to say most Christians don't know what eternal life is. We think of eternal life as living with God forever in heaven. And yes, we are going to live with God forever in heaven, but that's not the eternal life that you receive when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal life is not live forever life. Every human being gets live forever life from the moment of conception in their mother's womb. From the moment of conception in a woman's womb, you have got an eternal being, somebody who's going to live forever. The only question is, where are they going to live? What will be their eternal home? Will it be heaven or will it be hell? That, of course, is determined based on what they do with Jesus in this life. Eternal life is not live forever life. The life that we get when we believe on Jesus is not live forever life. We already had that. I already had it before I believed on Jesus. I was just going to live in hell forever. No, eternal life is the life of God. It's the uncreated life in God himself. It's the life in God. When a person believes on Jesus, eternal life comes into him, into the immaterial part of him. We discussed that yesterday, that all of us have a visible part and an invisible part, an outer man, our physical body, and an inward, invisible, immaterial part made up of spirit and soul. When we believe on Jesus, something called eternal life comes into our spirit, into that immaterial part of us. It's the uncreated life in God himself. When that happens, our spirit is regenerated and we are literally born of God. 1 John chapter 5 verse 1 says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Is born of God. Why? Because his life comes into you and regenerates you, or brings your dead spirit. Your spirit was dead, cut off from the life in God because of sin, but life came into it and regenerated it. Titus chapter 3 verse 5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." When you believe on Jesus, eternal life comes into you, and you, your spirit, is united to the life in God. You become a partaker of the life in God. You are united to the life in Jesus as truly as a branch is joined to a vine. 1 John chapter 5 verse 1, we just read it. "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Let me drop down to verse 11. "And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." The life that's in the Son is the life that's given to us. Now listen to verse 12 in our last seconds here. "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Eternal life is a present tense possession. If you have the Son, you have his life in you. More tomorrow. Amen.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison, at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.